Welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of the Jungle Show. Thank you all for joining us. We are back here to talk Auburn basketball here on Auburn Daily. We are excited to be back. We are just over 2 weeks away from Auburn's last basketball game. They fell in the round of 32 to Houston. Now, we're not here to talk about that, by the way. We're here to talk about Auburn moving forward. Some roster changes that we've got to discuss. We have two people transferring out. We have one that has made it known that they are leaving and going towards the NBA, going professional, and just stuff around the program. We got one incomer to talk about. He's not a new incomer, meaning we didn't just find out about him. But man, I'm waiting to talk about this guy, and I want our first off-season episode like this to have a big segment about him. So let's just jump right into it to talk about that and to discuss this. I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, how you doing?
I was disappointed that we lost to the Houston Cougars, but I am doing, okay. It's gonna be a totally different basketball team next year.
Yeah.
I mean, totally different.
Yeah, so you're right.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. Bruce Pearl said in his post-game presser, and let him remind y'all, he said after the Miami game, after we lost in the tournament the year prior, he said, I'm building this next year's team around Jalen Williams. He ended up doing that. Getting Jani Broome, obviously, that took a lot of the story out as well, but both of those guys were awesome, especially down the stretch. But this year it was a little different. He said, I'm completely going to revamp, going to reload, this team's going to look completely different. And so far from what we've seen here in this offseason, I think he's going to be absolutely right. This is going to be a completely different looking basketball team.
He said he was going recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
He spent that next week recruiting. The final 4 weeks, you can't recruit. You can't talk to, as far as I know, talk to anybody.
Well, he's at the final four.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
So but it's a dark week. You can't recruit. Right.
Yeah.
But now now that portal is hot. He needs to jump in that portal and pull some dudes and have honest conversations with the guys who are on the team this year.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what I expect of you. Can you do that? If not, all right, the portal's open.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
That's what he's doing.
I think you nailed two things right there. Number one, and we're not even done with this basketball season yet. But the national championships, we're recording this a few minutes before the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
But the transfer portal is already hot. It is loaded. There are talents and names and experience in that transfer portal that is eye-boggling. It really is.
Eye-boggling. That's mind-boggling.
but eye-boggling as well. Because you look at it, it's like, oh, okay. I don't know about this. But
some really big names in the transfer portal.
Yes.
Some really good players.
Yes, but also – the two guys we're about ready to talk about transferred out two of those guys are just like, those are big names, two really high recruits in this past year's class coming off of their different situations, I would say. We'll talk about that in a second. But you said Bruce Pearl is going to own up and say, if you don't want to be a part of this team next season from where I vision it, leave. Go to the transfer portal. I wish you nothing but the best. And it
sure seems that way.
Seemed like it was how this happened with not just the two guys we're going to talk about that entered the transfer portal, but also a guy that entered the NBA draft. So let's go ahead and start talking about that. First, let's talk about the two guys entering the portal, Yohan Traore and Chance Westry, the two freshman signees from this past year outside of Trey Donaldson. Obviously, I expected this from Traore. Traore's not SEC basketball ready. He's not Auburn basketball ready. I think he's got a chance to – he's only been playing basketball since he was in 10th grade. We've talked really bad and really good about him here on this podcast and on the show. I saw it coming. Treor averaged just over 2 points and just over one rebound a game this season. He shot 19% from three and 34% from the free throw line. So he's not ready. He's not there yet. He can get there. I really do. He's a five-star recruit. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got the body to do it, the 6'10", 220 body. But he needs to go somewhere smaller. He needs to go somewhere maybe mid-major. Help him develop, help him get playing time and that sort of thing, because it just wasn't going to happen here at Auburn.
No, it's Treor doesn't shock me that he left. I think he's got the frame to be a really good basketball player. He went from being a all-world center in high school when he played to Bruce wanted him to run the stretch four. And I think it boggled his mind.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned with is that he is getting advice that's telling him you're a high major D1 talent. He's going to try to get on. He's going to try to go back to LSU.
Yeah.
And he's just, needs a place where he can grow
and play
and not get killed.
Yeah.
When he's not look like a deer in the headlights when he's on the floor. And he looked like a deer in headlights. He didn't in Israel.
No.
Because he was playing against lesser talent. If he would go to at FAU, just in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And play in that Conference USA style of basketball or UAB, I think he could develop into a really big-time talent and play in the NBA. If he goes to a high major, I don't know that he can develop.
He never got there while he was at Auburn. It just never seemed to click when he was there. It did when he was in. We were playing in Israel in August, just like you said. I mean, he had 20 points in that one game against the All-Star Select team. It was just because he was playing against the type of kids that he was playing in high school.
Yep.
That didn't shock me. I will root for Yoan wherever he goes. Wish him good luck and nothing but the best. But except if he plays Auburn. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a little bit of a surprise one. Chance Westry enters the portal after redshirting this season, after having the knee injury in the preseason. Westry averaged 2.5 points per game this year, one assist, 0% from three, 43% from the free throw line. He was a former four-star recruit in this past class, a top 40 type of recruit, but just never got healthy after that knee injury. Bruce Pearl said in the preseason that he was our best player in the preseason, running that he could play the point guard, he played the shooting guard, three, and some of them could probably play the four due to his size. He's 6'6", 6'7". He was the perfect combo guard. Just that knee injury killed him. Never got confidence when we tried to get him back in the swing of things, and he decided the red shirt. And I was like, okay, that's good. Let's get him healthy. Let's have him have this full off season, come back as a red shirt freshman. And he's got a chance to start, but he enters the portal. What do you think about this?
It shocked me. Yeah. It shocked me because right after the, round of 32 loss, he was all in. He was talking about what he was going to do next year and how excited he was to play for Bruce Pearl and so on and so forth. He, as far as I know, he hasn't said anything about the portal on his social media. He announced it through Tipton Edits.
Yep. And Rothstein, yeah.
Yeah, Rothstein. I don't – look. Is he probably going into the portal? Yeah, I'm sure he probably is. A lot of these kids with NIL money now, if they're not producing at the school where they are, they're not playing. They're not getting as much NIL money as they want, and they go to a different school. I think he would be a great guard in Bruce Pearl's system. I think he's an NBA guard in Bruce Pearl's system. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So he had his knee scoped at the beginning of the year. That's mm-hmm. not a big procedure.
It's not an ACL or
that's not something that takes
torn ligament or Achilles right. or something like that. Yeah.
So I don't and I heard all year that he was tearing it up with the scout team. He just never when he got put in games, he never seemed to get it. And you and I talked about it on this podcast. Are we dumping too much on him? Does he just need to be the two and leave it at that? Or just need to be a three and leave it at that? Yeah. Because they were trying to run him at point. And I thought, well, he's redshirting him so that he can say, all right, work on these skills so you can be the two next year or whatever it is. And then you come back and you're one position, you know it, and you've got it. I just hate that I want the kid to stay at Auburn, but if he leaves, I hate that we've poured the amount of effort into getting him here and then trying to get him to where he's able to play.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
This is a hard situation.
It is hard. It's hard on the kid. It's hard on Bruce and his staff because it didn't seem like this was going to be a thing. And then Westry had a one-on-one meeting with Coach Pearl. And 20 minutes later, he's in the transfer portal. I don't know what to think of that because I don't know if that's something that boiled up. I don't know if that's something that's was going to happen all season long after we redshirted him and that sort of thing. Or if that was something that happened, something that was said in that meeting that was like, Chance, the transfer portal is hot. We're going to go attack it. We're going to revamp it. We don't see you on the roster next season. And then he goes, I don't know who it's up to us to speculate. We don't know what happened or was said. It does. This one hurts though. I was really excited about Chance. Just like you said, he's a premier defender. He's long and quick, could play any position, even though we did talk about that at the beginning of the season. When he came back, we kind of just threw him at the backup point guard position and said, good luck. And it bothered him, and he never got right with it. Didn't shoot the ball well. He was getting to the basket. We saw flashes of it. Mm-hmm. We saw him in Israel. Exact same thing with Johan. The game where he had 18 points and 7 steals, it was just like, okay, that guy's good. If we can get him, but he was never on this Auburn team. Just like, that Johan stayed in Israel. I don't know what happened. Both of them stayed in Israel, but we never got those guys on this team this year. And as unfortunate as it is, this roster, I believe in – maybe a month, maybe 2 months, we're going to be saying, looks like we don't really need Chance. We don't really need Johan because of what we got coming in. And that could be speculation as well, but that's hard to say right now. Man, this one's a tough one. I do think that you said it right. Nothing came out on Westry's social media. Nothing came out on Westry's part. This was a report from Tipton Edits on On3 and Ross Steen of CBS, which Auburn sources then confirmed. So he is in the transfer portal right now. But we've not heard anything about him receiving interest from other teams. We have heard that with Johan. One of the teams is across the state, by the way. Mm-hmm. But
that would be awful.
We don't know the situation with Chance Westry. It's all speculation right now. All we can do is think and attack the transfer portal ourselves and trust in Pearl and his staff that we're going to be all right.
Yeah. Look, if you don't have trust in Pearl right now, then I'm not. I don't know that you really want to be listening to what we say, because both of us trust Bruce Pearl and what he's done for the program and what he can do for the program. I tend to think that Westry was one of these talks. Hey, this is what I expect of you. You're going to do this, this, and this over the off season, and this is where I want you to play.
Yeah.
And Westry may have just said, I really don't want that. Or Westry may have said, you know, I want to test the waters of the transfer portal. See what interest I get. See what NIL I get.
There is no rule, and we'll talk about this when we talk about Wendell, there is no rule for the transfer portal of leaving and coming back.
No.
Not even a little bit. You can wait till the day before the season starts if you want to. If you're in the transfer portal, you're in the transfer portal, you can completely remove yourself from the portal or commit to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Westry is 100% gone from Auburn. I do think it is for Johan, but you've got to think that it's – I don't know, depending on how this roster is going to shake up in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I don't know if Westry sees himself in that roster.
He may not.
We just don't know. Obviously, since Westry didn't post anything on the social media, his part, and we aren't hearing anything about him visiting another school, because trust me. If that wasn't a thing, you would hear that,
mm-hmm.
because he would be Absolutely. A major, major target in the portal. But why are we not?
I don't know. So I think Johan's probably 95 to 100% gone. I don't know that there's ever 100%, but 95 to 99. I think Westry's still probably 85% gone. But I think there's a little bit of a chance that he just wanted to see what was out there.
See what draws to him, yeah.
And, absolutely. And see if there was something that
And that's not a bad idea.
No.
It's not a bad idea at all. And it's also not a bad idea to do for the NBA draft. Moving on to talk about Wendell and his decision to declare for the NBA draft and professional basketball, I'll say. Talking about what I said about the transfer portal, you can always come back with the NBA draft.
You can come back.
Just don't
hire an agent.
The NBA is different from the NFL. The NFL, if you declare for the draft, you're in the draft.
By the way, the NFL needs to adopt what the NBA is
doing. Agreed, yes. But if you're in the draft, you're in the draft. If you don't get drafted,
you're out of luck.
Yeah, good luck. Go sign on as a undrafted free agent.
Yep.
But with the NBA, you can put yourself in the draft.
Get evaluated.
Hire an agent to represent you, you're automatically in. But if you don't hire an agent, there is a deadline where you're either in or you're coming back. We saw that last year. Auburn saw that last year with Alan Flanagan. Both Alan Flanagan and Dylan Cardwell entered their name last season. It was kind of – I didn't really expect that. The season I expect Dylan, Jalen, Allen, and maybe Janai to all enter their name in the draft just to see. It's so valuable to go to NBA teams and say, hey, what do I need to work on? I'll go back to college. I'm not looking to go in the draft. But for the future – what do I need to work on? It allows them to go play in front of these NBA scouts and coaches and GMs and to get better advice, different advice than they're getting from Coach Pearl and Coach Flanagan and Coach Pearl and Coach Pruitt and Bowman and those guys. So, but let's talk about Wendell. Wendell declares for the draft, and this one seems so odd, and we'll talk about it here in a second because I think it's a very similar situation to Chance, to be honest with you. Wendell declares for the draft. He averaged just under 14 points this season, a little over 4 assists, shot just under 30% from three and 84% from the free throw line, averaged just over 2.5 turnovers a game. Wendell Green's about between 5'9", 5'10", maybe 5'11", depending on his hair, 175 pounds.
Yeah.
Let me say this. In the NBA, out of every single roster in the NBA right now, there is one person that is under 6 foot tall. It's Jordan McLaughlin for the Minnesota Timberwolves, if you were wondering. But the NBA is going the complete opposite direction of those small point guards. We've seen it with Jared. We've seen it with Sharif. We've seen it with a lot of other point guards. You just don't see those point guards get drafted anymore because the NBA is going in the opposite direction. They want the big, tall point guards that can pass really well and maybe shoot from the outside.
Yeah. If you're less than 6 feet, you better be a knockdown shooter.
And Green is not that. He shot just under 30% from three this year. He only averaged about 13 points per game. It just – he's very inefficient. He has some turnover problems sometimes. There were some late-game shots that and problems that happened. There were just – and there were stretches that he would – completely disappear in games. There were straight when look, let's give Wendell credit. I love Wendell. When Wendell was on, he was on. And when I said this season, if Wendell Green plays great, Auburn's gonna play great. If Wendell Green plays bad, Auburn's gonna play bad. That's not good for a player going into the NBA draft, by the way. That's not good. Because if I had to say that, that means he was inconsistent and not efficient. And that's not going to help him in the NBA draft. I don't think there's any chance. Let me say this. I don't think there's a shot in the world that Wendell Green is drafted from pick 1 to 60. I think he'd be a great look for a team overseas, maybe a team in the G League. But I don't understand how that's more valuable than playing his junior season at Auburn. Or a senior, he would be a senior. His senior season at Auburn because of the Eastern Kentucky transfer. I don't see how that's valuable. Returning, averaging 13-4 this past year, come back as a senior point guard. Imagine if Jared did that, by the way. That 2020 season, we would have been even better than we thought.
And we were really good.
We were good, yeah. But hey, this one seems really, really odd. I don't understand it.
So I'm with you. I think that this was a conversation between Bruce Pearl and maybe other coaches and Wendell Green.
Yeah.
And Wendell said, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. And Bruce knows he's got an incomer who we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
He's seen Trey Donaldson mature and develop.
Yep.
And he may have just said, look, go take your shot. And give the kid credit. He wants to go take a shot.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't see a team drafting him.
No.
If he'd get a tryout with a team, maybe.
No. I don't want a 13-man NBA.
Again, you're talking about a 5'10 guy who's a less than 30% three-point shooter who doesn't have the speed to get around everybody. He's got some speed and
he's good and handle the ball well.
Let's say this. I love Wayne Green.
Yeah.
I love watching him play. Would love to watch him play again in an Auburn uniform.
He
has laid his blood and guts on the line to play at Auburn. I just don't see him as if Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Sharif Cooper aren't on NBA rosters.
There's no chance.
I don't see how you say Wayne Green's on an NBA roster.
No chance.
I think, but again, the conversation may have been go declare for the draft. If you don't get drafted, go play overseas, get your bag, get some money, and who knows, maybe if you shoot 50% from three overseas, an NBA team may go, wow, wait a minute, let's take a look at that. But I think this is I see some writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to
move on.
Try my shot.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the perfect example of there's a guy coming in and there's a guy returning that I think I could probably play with and play over maybe one of them, but I'll let them do it. I'll go take my shot in the NBA. And I think, I don't think this is, I think I'm not trying to say you can call this processing Wendell Green. I don't think Bruce.
And I don't think it was processing. No, I don't either.
I think it was more of a encourage to go pro, knowing that they're going to be okay at the point guard slot.
Yeah.
And again, we wish Wendell, Chance, and Johan nothing. I will root for Wendell massively in his pro career because there are odds defying him, but I think that's the perfect kind of fuel for
him. He loves that. Absolutely. He loves that. He's always been that way.
It's that's going to be a major challenge for him, and I'll be rooting for him. Absolutely. Yep. So let's talk about maybe one of the main reasons Wendell is leaving. Man, we have not gotten a chance to truly talk about what Auburn could be experiencing at the point guard position next season. And let's not take away from this. As of right now, the point guard slot is full. I think every minute at the point guard spot is filled. All 40 minutes of every game is filled at the point guard slot next year by Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway.
Aiden comes in as a true freshman starter.
Yeah. Aiden, is point guard number one. He is a five-star McDonald's All-American, just the fifth McDonald's All-American in Auburn basketball history. Two of them being fairly recently with Jabari and Sharif. But, man, he reminds you of Sharif with it. He's very, very shifty, very, very smooth getting inside and his passing. But he can light it up from the three-point shot. You match that with a guy like Trey Donaldson with the tournament that Trey had in the tournament, especially that game against Iowa. Good grief. The three things to get. His maturity over this past year. You allow him to come off the bench again and back up Aiden Holloway. I love the point guard slot. Look, I think there's two positions for Auburn that are like, don't touch it. No.
1 and 5.
No reason to move the point guard and the center slots at all next season.
I agree.
It's Aiden and Trey, and it's Jani and Dylan. Fill in the rest.
Yeah.
Fill in the middle.
You got a lot in the middle.
That'll be a topic for our next show when we actually fill some of those slots. But we're here to talk about Aiden, and because we have not gotten a true chance to talk about him. We've been so busy with talking about the season and that sort of thing. This is our first true off-season episode. But Aiden had a very memorable evening in the McDonald's All-American game. He scored 17 points, a few rebounds, a few assists.
Three steals,
hit buzzer beater from three at the end of the first quarter. He was great.
So watching that game, he looks like Sharif Cooper.
Yeah,
his hair is the same. His mannerisms are the same.
Yeah, very shifty.
He may not have the dog in him like Sharif did of wanting to taunt you when he drives by you.
Yeah.
But what he does, he has the ball's on a string for him. He can dribble it any way he wants, in, out. He put one poor kid in a spin cycle on the wing that was fantastic. He went shot a floater over Bronny James. You're right. He made that buzzer beater three to end the first quarter. He had 12 points at halftime. And so I was all excited to watch the second half. And then the coaches, decided that they wanted to get Milt Wagner's boy.
DJ Wagner,
DJ Wagner, who's a fantastic player.
Going to Kentucky.
Going to Kentucky, going to match up with Sharif. See, I did it. Match up with Aiden next year. And Aiden only got like 4 minutes in the second half, scored 5 points, had 3 steals in that time. My first impression in the first half was I didn't think he's that good of a defender. Guys got by him fairly easily.
It's an all-star
Bruce will take care of that. And yes, it's an all-star game. But his ball handling, passing, and just able to finish, he's 6'1", so he's not a tiny Bruce Pearl point guard. He's got a chance to be an NBA player. And he is, yes, he looks, acts, plays like Sharif Cooper, but he's a much better three-point shooter than Cooper was at this level.
He's a sniper from the outside.
Cooper's gotten better in the NBA, but this kid can shoot it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to watch. I watched him in his in the Geico National Championship Tournament that his high school prolific prep they were in. They were playing against IMG Academy. Aiden had a real good start. IMG is really, really big. He didn't have a lot of help on his team, especially at the big slot. But especially playing against IMG. IMG got up 22, I think was up 24 at one point. It was up 22 to start the fourth quarter. Aiden Holloway hit, what, 3 threes in the fourth quarter, including a fallaway three with about 10 seconds left to tie the game before IMG's Blue Kane hit a buzzer beater to win that game. It was a great game to watch. But in that game, I want to say, you said in the McDonald's game, he struggled on defense. He got by. A few players got by him a few times. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't as inclusive in his high school game. It was more of a competitive basketball game, the all-star game. But he's also going up against lesser talent than he was in the McDonald's all-star game. So you got to think about that. Yeah. You got to be, you know, as much as this episode was like, okay, what's happening? What are we doing? With Chance, Johan, Wendell, where are we going? You got to be excited about a guy like Aiden Holloway. The excitement that we had for Sharif Cooper coming into that season, we had just gone to the Final Four, lost to Virginia in the Final Four, and now we had this five-star point guard freshman coming in, and it was just massive hype around him. It doesn't seem like we've got that hype around Holloway, because I'm not saying Sharif Cooper didn't turn out, because he was great, but only for 12 games in that
NCAA scrutiny.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of hype. This guy, you need to have some major excitement for.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for him. It's time to go get help around him. You got to go get two guards. What do you do with KD and Chris Moore and Leor? What does Allen and Jalen do? What are they doing? It's just about rebuilding, reloading, and getting ready now. Yeah, yeah.
Shake it up and see what happens.
That's right.
All right, let's go watch the national title game.
All right. We'll go ahead and get out of here. Thank y'all for watching this episode of The Jungle Show. We'll be back hopefully soon to talk about some more additions that Auburn basketball gets. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for watching and listening to this edition of The Jungle Show. If you enjoyed this content, please consider hitting the like button and sharing it down below. If you would like to find more of this content, please go to auburndaily.com. If you would like to find either of us on Twitter, you could go to @GrayOldenburg or @WarEagleHoops. Again, thank you for watching, and we will see you next time.